It's an old story, right? City gets too expensive for the artists who made it cool. What's the bigger picture for the music scenes in Seattle and Tacoma? Anacortes. I don't know, Kirkland. Charles Cross is a local music writer and journalist. Good to see you, Charles.
Good to see you, Bill.
Seattle's getting expensive for everybody. First, what does this mean on the downside for local bands and musicians?
Well, I mean, this is a story, unfortunately, that's been happening for a while, but it's not just about music. It's essentially about what is the artistic integrity of what Seattle is. It's in some ways really a debate about what is the soul of Seattle. And for years, Seattle has been a town that people identified with music and with artistic accomplishment. And as the economy has risen, that's become increasingly difficult for artists of every sort, certainly for bands. It's very hard for bands to, one, find a venue to play because those venues have been squeezed out, two, find rehearsal space, which is the thing that this story was essentially was about. That's essentially disappeared from the Seattle city limits. And finally, make a living as a band. You know, we're in a venue that I love to be in the studio because Nirvana played in our basement. There used to be a venue in the basement of this building. And, you know, it was a place that a lot of those bands literally played in the day. That's long gone. And it's essentially gone, those kind of venues, most of them from the Seattle city limits.
Okay, that's the downside to the Seattle priciness endangers the music scene story. What about the upside?
Well, the upside is there's more money in town, but the problem is we in some ways do have a number of newcomers, and I don't want to blame the people that have just moved here, but what Seattle needs is a sense that music is important to what our entire cultural identity is. Other cities in certain areas, like Austin, for example, the city government supports music with a number of incentives to make that happen. You know, Seattle is only waking up to that, but it may be a little bit too late. I'd like to see the city step up. I like what the developer said in Marcy's piece about let's give incentives to people to save some of these buildings, to save some of these venues before they're all plowed under. Because the reality is if you run the Crocodile Cafe, that space is worth a lot more to a high-rise developer than it is to putting on shows. But that venue is very important to the historic history of what Seattle is. That's where Nirvana played, where Mudhoney played, where everyone played in the day. Should it be plowed under for a condo? In my mind, no way.
But this isn't just about Seattle. Where are musicians moving to?
Well, it's difficult. Some musicians are moving farther out. Some are moving out of the Seattle city limit. Some are moving to Shoreline. One of my favorite clubs is in Shoreline. It's called Daryl's Tavern. It's on 175th and Aurora. And one of the great things about Daryl's is it's like Seattle used to be. There's no building right next to it, so they can make as much noise as they want.
Right.
That is virtually unheard of within Seattle at the moment.
So you just gave the example of Shoreline. So maybe the music scene in Shoreline has never been better for all I know. I mean,
well,
doesn't movement
better
and change just bring the arts to new places?
Well, maybe, but not the same as it was in the era when there were five clubs in Belltown that you could walk to and you could see Mudhoney in one and maybe Nirvana or Tad in another. And the Vogue was just down the street and the Central Tavern, and there were five places in Pioneer Square right within each other. That was part of what bred the Seattle music scene of the 80s, was that proximity. And the reality is it's much, much harder for musicians to find any place to play, to rehearse, and to make a living in live music. Recorded music's a different matter. That's a whole nother problem. But live music in Seattle is, to some degree, endangered by development.
And so not just for the musician, but for the fan, are you saying an atomized, split-up music scene is bad for the music lover?
It is. You know, there used to be a lot more venues in town than there are now. There are noise regulations that the city has enforced, and one of those issues is going on right now in Fremont with Nectar. A number of their neighbors have complained about how much noise Nectar makes. It's a great club. If you move in next door, you should realize you're moving into a club. But that club is under siege by some of the city regulations. So I think the city needs to step up and make music a bigger part of Seattle's cultural identity and accept that that's what we are.
I still want to talk about places outside of Seattle because we know about great bands out of Olympia, and local music has been great in Bellingham and Anacortes. I mean, is there really what's the important action here in Northwest music?
Well, all those scenes for years have also been places. Olympia has had a good music scene. So has Bellingham. But those scenes have not developed clubs the way Seattle is. You know, Death Cab for Cutie may have started in Western, but they moved to Seattle. You know, Nirvana may have started in Aberdeen, but they moved to Seattle. You know, Tad may have started elsewhere and moved to Seattle. You know, the Screaming Trees were from Ellensburg. They moved to Seattle. The reality is Seattle is the center, and it's the only place you can really have a viable recording career. But I do think many artists are moving to farther out places because they're being priced out of Seattle.
So if you care about the Seattle music scene, what should we do to keep it vibrant?
Well, one, go out and see live music. The venues that are left, support them. Go see them. Pay. Buy musicians' albums. Don't stream them on Spotify because you're essentially enforcing a kind of slavery when you do that. Nobody makes any money from Spotify. Don't stream music. Buy it. Even pay a dollar on iTunes is a much better option. So support local music. Go see bands. That's what keeps things viable. But also, I think some of the political bodies that be have to start putting in some more economic development and have to look at some of these venues as saving them for landmark status. Should the Comet Tavern be saved for landmark status? Absolutely. It's as important to Seattle to me and to my cultural heritage and what Seattle's about as the Fifth Avenue Theater. But do people donate money to the Comet Tavern to keep it going? No. The only way.
Why should somebody who's young or from someplace else care about your musical heritage?
Why should they care about the Fifth Avenue Theater or the Seattle Rep? But we have a history of people giving to those cultural things, and we realize that's an important part of our artistic legacy as a city. That has not translated to music as much, and it needs to. People donate to the Ben Arroyo and the Symphony. They don't donate to the grunge band starting in your basement, but there has to be a way to support that because that's a big part of what Seattle is.
Seattle's great music writer, Charles Cross, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And I'll see you at Daryl's Tavern, right? 175th and Aurora.
You got it.
In Shoreline. All right. I'll buy you a beer. Thank you, Charles.
Thanks.
We are, by the way, collecting more stories like this one for this new project that we call Region of Boom. And on our webpage, you can submit your story idea. Do that at KUOW.org.